Blog Talk Radio.
In my
I know that there are brothers that think like I do. According to the word of God, a righteous man, yes, a righteous man, a righteous man needs a virtuous woman. And I don't care what anybody says. A righteous man, a virtuous woman, fit like a hand and glove. There's so much love. A righteous man, I got a virtuous woman, said unto me by God. Remaining, nourish me back to life again, and I thank God for His Spirit in you. You're precious, you're trusting, you're thoughtful, you're godly, you open your mouth with wisdom, and in your tongue.
All right. what God has joined together, let no man break it up. I want to take a little time to thank the God for being with me through all of these bad times. You're a virtue of a woman. Thank you.
For in your heart. there's a will, there's a way, yeah. You gotta seek and you will find, yeah.
Until I pray. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today, reading for me is one of my oldest and one of my favorite readers. He was going to fill in for Kevin J. last week, but Kevin J. managed to make it. But this time, you best believe he's definitely going to read today. This is the one, the only, Jeff. Go ahead, brother.
Peace, Brother Josh, and peace to the elders, teachers, and students at ABT. And again, thank you for the privilege of letting me read for today's lesson. Appreciate it.
Praise God, Brother Jeff. Praise God. And, of course, I'm happy to have you read for us again after all this time, and I look forward to any and all input you may have about today's lesson. And judging by the title, I'm pretty sure you may have something to say about this. But before we get started, let me first say to everybody on Clubhouse, welcome. If this is your first time studying with us, we hope you continue to study with us every Saturday, every Sabbath. But we got to lay a few ground rules for you before we get started. This is our Sabbath class. What that means is this is not an open discussion yet. So if you have any questions or comments about today's lesson, simply hold them until after the lesson is over. Once the lesson is over, simply raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you to the stage where you can ask any question about any topic and make any comments you want, provided you are respectful. And speaking of respect, to those of you in the chat room, try to please keep the chatter to a minimum. My mods will be posting scriptures and sources in the chat, and if you're spamming up the chat with scriptures of your own or commentary, people will not get the sources as they are given. Also, don't be in the chat arguing with each other or trying to do your own mini lesson while I'm doing my lesson, right? If you do, one of my mods will promptly expel you from the room. No questions asked, no warning. They're just going to kick you out. If you feel like you were kicked out unfairly, DM one of them, one of the mods, not me, and explain to them why you feel you were kicked out unfairly. But like I tell y'all every week, my mods rarely, if ever, mistakenly kick anyone out. So if you want to stick around and hear what we have to say, you might want to keep your mouth shut. If not, just do what you do, and my mods will kick you out. Right? And y'all know due to the nature of today's topic, it's going to be a lot of gangfayers in the chat. So y'all need to be extra sharp, mods. You can't depend on your fellow mods to catch stuff that you are not paying attention to because you're distracted doing something else. Everybody need to keep a sharp, keen eye on what's going on in the chat. And I understand that y'all also communicate among each other, which is good. So just keep up the good work, right? So with that out the way, the title of today's class is, Was Jesus Worshipped as the Most High? That's right, you heard correctly. Today's class is titled, Was Jesus Worshipped as the Most High? And there's a number of reasons why I'm doing this particular study. Y'all know a couple of weeks back, Brother Zadok had a debate with Corey Brewer about whether Jesus Christ is the Most High. And Zadok, in his debate, said that he believed that Jesus is the Most High, which we also believe at ABD. But because of that, Zadok had to inevitably say, if you believe that Jesus is the Most High, then you believe at some point the Most High died as a man. To which Zadok said, yes, I do believe that. And because of Zadok's free and open association with ABT, Corey Brewer and the God First Gang took it upon themselves to try to make it all about ABT. They tried to make it more about ABT and less about Zadok. And they start opening rooms, asking questions, does ABT teach that the Most High died? Which I did not have a problem with that title. That's a reasonable question for a title. What I didn't like is, why not just ask us? Why would you ask a question on behalf of us in the title of a clubhouse room when you could have just asked us? Another thing I didn't like about it was, if you ask the question, did the Most High die, without providing any context or background behind the question, then people can assume anything. They can think that we teach that the Most High died sometime back in the Old Testament. So to bring understanding and clarity to what they obviously were not trying to bring understanding and clarity to, I did a class last week. You can listen to it on the replay if you want to just by clicking on my bio, Brother Joshua. And I did a class last week titled, Did the Most High Die on the Cross? In which I emphatically proved with Scripture that the New Testament believers believed that Jesus was the God of the Old Testament, which means they believed he was the Most High. And we showed through prophecy how God himself said that he would be pierced. He didn't say he shall be pierced. He said he himself shall be pierced. And we showed that was fulfilled in the book of John. Like I said, this whole lesson is on my replay. And shout out to all the people who showed up to hear it, as well as all the people who caught it on the replay. The replay is just really going up in numbers because I know this is an interesting topic. It's also a very complicated topic. Shouldn't even really be, you know, tackled by amateurs. But, you know, people got to make you believe that they know deep. As I said last week, I can turn this into a series. And a lot of people are saying, please do. So this brings us to today's class. Was Jesus worshipped as the Most High? And that's a legitimate question if we are telling people, and by we, I mean ABT and Big Brother Zadok with the Bible Dojo and the Knesset of Jesus, if we are telling you that Jesus was the Most High and came in the flesh as a man and died on the cross, then we should also be able to prove, no, we should have to prove that Jesus was worshipped as the Most High. Because we all know, or I believe most of us know, that the Israelites had a strict code against worshiping any god, whether in the form of an idol, a concept, or a human, or an animal. They had a strict code against worshiping any other thing or anybody else other than the Most High. So at the end of the day, either Jesus is the Most High, or we need to throw out the New Testament. Plain and simple. Those are your only two conclusions. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say, I don't believe Jesus is the Most High, and then say, I do really believe the New Testament.
You cannot do that. You're going to have to surrender one or the other. But people don't want to be honest about what they're reading. But before we prove to you that Jesus was worshipped as the Most High, we must first clearly define in the Old Testament what it means to worship the Most High. Just in the word itself. We're not going to get all off into sacrificing animals to him or praying to him. We're talking about worshiping him as acknowledging him as the Most High and bowing down to him. Doing both of those. Those ways, those descriptions are how you know if somebody worships the Most High. We're also going to look at that word worship in the Hebrew, or rather the word translated worship in the Hebrew. So there will be no misconception because people try to play with words. And once you see exactly indisputable worship of the Old Testament Most High, if you see that, then if we go to the New Testament and show the exact indisputable worship of Jesus, either he's the Most High or the New Testament is a lie. Period. You cannot try to play back and forth. For all of y'all that kept asking, what does ABT believe about this? We started you off last week with the class we did the Most High die on the cross? You can click on that on replay, like I said. But like I said, I can do a whole series on this. And we're going to show you that Jesus was worshipped as the Most High by true believers. We ain't talking about some ignorant non-Hebrews or non-believers. We talking about by the apostles. That's what we're going to read. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to take you all the way back because you have to do this. I like to start from the beginning to get an understanding on what things mean. And then we just walk it through until we get to Jesus. Most people start out in the middle or at the end of the Bible and try to understand something backwards. No, you're supposed to understand things forward. When you read a book, you don't start at the end of the book and start reading backwards. When you watch a movie, you don't start at the end of a movie and start rewinding backwards. You start at the beginning. So we're going to go to the beginning, first book in the Bible, and we're going to see where the word worship first appears in the King James Version Bible. Not the Hebrew word translated worship, just the word worship in the King James Version Bible. We're going to go to Genesis 22, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. Because people like to play games with this particular topic, and they like to ignore certain stuff. I've seen that on both sides. Anything that's detrimental to what they believe, they just ignore it. So I'm like, how are you going to ignore this? I don't like to play those games. You're going to have to harmonize this stuff, or you're going to have to get rid of some stuff. That's the only option you have. You can't have something sticking out like a sore thumb, and then when somebody brings it to your attention, you're just like, I don't know. You follow what I'm saying? You have to harmonize this stuff or say, I don't believe this part, and therefore get rid of it. I got more respect for people who just say they don't believe certain stuff in the Bible rather than people who see it and act like they don't. I have no respect for somebody who does that. Don't say you can see it, but at the same time, you can't concede it. People say they see it, but they can't concede it. If you see it, that's you conceding. So this is Genesis 22, and we're going to read verses 1 to 5. And this is talking about when God tested Abraham by telling him to sacrifice Isaac. And we're going to see something that Abraham said to the two young men, two of his young servants, that were with him. And I'm going to ask some simple elementary questions that I know everybody with at least a fifth grade education can answer. I'm going to be asking y'all simple questions. Because it's amazing when I ask these simple questions that even a fifth grader can answer. When it comes to doctrine and the Bible, people don't want to give you simple yes or no answers to simple scriptures, not deep concepts. Simple scriptures, people, you know the answer to this question. When you see somebody stuttering or hesitating to answer a simple yes or no question, then your spider sense needs to go off because they are about to be deceitful. If it's a simple yes or no, because every yes or no question ain't simple. But if it's a simple yes or no question, and you know it's a simple no yes or no question, and you know that they know it's a simple yes or no question, and they start stuttering and hesitating, they're about to get ready to start being deceptive because they're trying to already formulate a way to get around it.
That's right.
That's what they're doing. And if I see somebody come on the stage doing Q&A, and I ask you a simple yes or no question, and you start right to the audience. That's where you're going. So don't even get on the stage if you know you're not ready to be questioned. See, it's called Q&A. People don't know that Q&A also means we get to question you. They think Q&A just means they just question us. No, that means we question you too, just so y'all can know that. So this is Genesis 22:1-5. Go ahead and read, Jeff.
Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did send Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off.
So he sees where he's going to attempt to sacrifice Isaac. But watch what it says in the next verse. Go ahead.
Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.
So Abraham told the two young men, two of his young male servants, stay here with the donkey. And I and the boy, Isaac, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So Jeff, let me ask you a simple question. When Abraham told those two young men that me and Isaac are going to go yonder and worship, who is he talking about worshiping?
The Most High God of Israel.
Do everybody on the stage agree with that? Come off your mic, flash your mic. Do everybody on the stage agree with that? Do anybody got a problem with that? This is real simple. This is real simple. He told them, wait here. Me and Isaac about to go over there and worship, and then we'll come back. Right? Everybody in the chat room got that. Give me a one if y'all can see that. Real simple. I like to start off real simple. Real simple. Nobody confused yet. This is why you got to catch the beginning of the class. People want to show up three quarters into the class and then confused and then want to start asking questions that we already covered. These kind of classes, if you are 30 to 40 minutes late, you might well catch the replay. If you want to ask some questions, that is, if you got questions. You might well catch the replay. Because we go over a lot of stuff before we get to where you walk in, though. But what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Strong and Doctor Concordance, and we're going to look up the word translated worship in this verse. This is very important. And that is 78:12 in the Hebrew section. 78:12 in the Hebrew section of the Strong and Doctor Concordance. This is the word translated worship. Right? And the word is shakah. Shakah. And it says a primitive root to depress, that is prostrate. You know, prostrate means like to bow yourself down to the ground. Like y'all see how the Muslims be praying in Mecca? That's how you prostrate. That's what it means to prostrate. It says that is prostrate, especially reflexively in homage to royalty or God. Notice it say especially or reflexively. It didn't say only. It didn't say especially. Especially means in most or a lot of cases. Then it says, it means bow, self down, crouch, fall down, flat, humbly beseech, do make obeisance, do reverence, make stoop, worship. Notice that worship is the last word it gives you in the definition of the Hebrew word shakah. But in this case, it's the best word to use. This word could have easily been translated prostrate or bow down or fall down. He could have said, me and I are going to fall down or bow down. But this word just simply means worship, bow down, and I'm going to show you that this word can be used for humans too. This Hebrew word shakah does not always necessarily mean worship. I'm going to show you this, and this is important for you to know because as we go look at the way this word is used alongside other words, then we're going to know for sure if it's talking about just bowing down in respect to somebody, like in reverence or just honoring them, or does it mean bowing down to worship, like you worship the Most High, or if you worship a pagan idol, or if you worship man. We're going to let you see. So given the context of what we just read, Jeff, do you think when they use the word shakah here, does it mean worship of the Most High?
Yes, sir.
Do everybody else on the stage agree with him? Y'all cut off your mic.
Agree.
Everybody can see that, right? It means worship of the Most High. But let me show you something. Still in the book of Genesis, we're going to read about Abraham again. Let's go to Genesis 23. Right over to the next chapter. I got to teach y'all these words because these deceitful Israelites and Christians will try to play word games with you when it comes to whether Jesus was worshipped as the Most High or not. And I'm just beating them to the punch, and I'm going to throw something at them, a punch at them that they can't block or duck. So this is Genesis 23. We're going to read verses 5 to 7. This is after Sarah died, and Abraham was negotiating with the people of Canaan about where they will allow him to bury her. So this is Genesis 23, 5 to 7, and then we're going to skip. But read that, please, Jeff.
Genesis chapter 23, verse 5. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us, and the choice of our sepulchres. Bury the dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulcher, but that thou mayest bury thy dead.
So they say, hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us in the choice of our sepulchers. Bury your dead. Talking about Sarah. None of us shall withhold you from thee his sepulcher, but that thou mayest bury your dead. Now watch what verse 7 says. Go ahead and read.
Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth.
And it said, and Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even the children of Heth. Jeff, guess what? The same Hebrew word translated worship in Genesis 22 and 5 is translated bowed himself in Genesis 23 and 7. So is this as Abraham worshipped the people of Heth?
Yes.
Is it that he worshipped them like God?
No, not like God, but as a respectful gesture.
Exactly. So how would you translate this word? The way they did. They took the same word, shakah. They didn't translate it worship here. They translated bow himself down. They could also said prostrated himself. But it's the same Hebrew word, shakah. You can look it up. So how do you know when shakah is referring to the worship of God or just simply you bowing down in respect to somebody. By the context, people, because we know Abraham wasn't worshiping these people. This is very important to understand, because when we start going through this and we get to the New Testament, somebody going to have to say, yo, they weren't just bowing in respect to Jesus. They weren't just giving him honor and reverence. They were actually worshiping him the way people worship the Most High. Because the Hebrews made sure, even though they used one word to convey different concepts, they always let the context let you know what they meant. The way they used the word and the way they coupled the word with another word or words. But we can see for this context, this is not saying that Abraham worshiped the people of Heth. But skip down, yep, and read verses 11 and 12, because this is after they decided to give him a cave to bury Sarah in. Read, please.
Genesis chapter 23, verse 11. May my Lord hear me, the field give I thee, and the cave that is therein. I give it thee in the presence of the sons of my people. Give I it thee, bury thy dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land.
And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. The same Hebrew word, shakah, 7812 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's and Dolphin Concordance. So why did it translate it as worship in Genesis 22 and 5? Because of the context. Now, they could have translated it as me and Isaac are about to go and bow down ourselves. But that would have left, like, you wanting understanding. Like, we're going to go bow down ourselves. That word means simply to bow down yourself to somebody out of respect or honor, but it can also mean to bow down yourself to somebody in the form of worship. You follow what I'm saying? And it can also just simply mean worship, period. But the reason why it's from a Hebrew word that means to bow down, like an action of bowing down, is because most worship in ancient times was associated with you bowing down to a deity. And after a while, bowing down became synonymous with worship or with just honor and respecting somebody in general. So when we look at this in the King James Version Bible, I'm going to be telling y'all it's the same word, but you're going to be able to tell from the context if that word shakah means worshiping the Most High, or does it just simply mean showing respect for somebody out of reverence. Sometimes even out of appreciation, right? So now, let's move on. Let's go to Exodus 24, because we got to understand how the Hebrews understood worship. That's what we have to understand. And if we see that being applied to Jesus in the New Testament from Israelites that come from a Hebrew background, you cannot deny this stuff. It cannot be debated. We have to learn. When we're debating against scripture or against people's personal feelings. And a lot of people jump on this stage who don't know the difference. They think they're debating scripture. They think they're debating truth. No, this is just how you feel. That's why when I cornered them with simple questions, they cannot answer them. When people ask me simple questions, I answer them honestly. And people are offended by my honesty. Because devils expect you to be devils. You follow what I'm saying? Like, you got somebody who lie all the time, they're going to think everybody lie all the time, because that's what they do. That's how a lot of people think. They know they're a thief. They're going to think you're a thief. A thief don't trust anybody. Well, I steal. I know you don't steal. It's the me too fallacy. You follow what I'm saying? So this is Exodus chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. This is when Moses, Aaron, his sons Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders came up to the mountain. You know, when God called them up. So this is Exodus 24, 1 and 2. When you get there, read, please.
Exodus chapter 24, verse 1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off.
So this is God talking, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. That same Hebrew word, 28:12, shaka. Jeff, let me ask you a question. In this context, what does worship mean here?
In this context, it's showing reverence to the Most High.
Right, but don't use the word reverence because that's confusing.
Okay, worship or...
worshiping the Most High. What you going to say? It means worshiping the Most High.
Yes.
It means like they're worshiping the Creator. Right? And we know with worship comes reverence. We know that, Jeff. You know, so you're not wrong when you say that. But just to keep it real simple, the word worship here should accurately be translated worship.
Yes.
But it's the same word translated bow down himself when it was referring to what Abraham was doing to the people of Heth, those Canaanites. So can y'all see from the context when this word is used, if it just simply means reverence and respect for someone versus it meaning you worshiping the Most High. Just the word alone with the context tells us that, right, Jeff? We can see that. Do everybody else on the stage, y'all see that, right? This ain't hard yet. Have I lost anybody yet? Because sometimes I be thinking maybe it ain't that people are stupid. Maybe ABT people just very smart. And I'm used to dealing with very smart people. Then when the stupid people come, I don't know what to do. Maybe they're not really stupid. Maybe they're just normal and y'all just super smart. Or maybe we're all normal and some people just plain dumb. I'm still trying to figure out what the disconnect. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because when I ask y'all this simple stuff, y'all don't just be yes, man, we're just going to say whatever Josh wants us to say. Y'all are answering the questions correctly based off the context. And I haven't shared this information with any one of y'all before this class. So I ain't prepped, tutored anybody. I just know I'm dealing with intelligent people who I rock with, and I know they can see that this is clearly in the context. If it's talking about the Most High God, it means they're worshiping him. That is an accurate translation. Even though technically that Hebrew word just simply means to prostrate or to bow down in general. And depending on who you are applying it to will determine if it means worshiping them. And we can show you and will show you that it even means worshiping a man. Just like we can show you that it means worshiping an idol. But that's bad, though. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But when you see people like Abraham doing it to other people, you know he's not doing it in worship. He's doing it out of respect. A lot of Middle Eastern culture still do that. The Asian culture do that. Y'all who watch anime, some of y'all don't been to Japan. These people stay bowing to each other. People bow out of respect. But we want to know, because I know a lot of y'all already know what God, there's plenty of scripture where you can read about people bowing to Jesus. That don't mean they worship him. What we want to know is were they bowing in simple respect and honor or gratitude to Jesus, or were they bowing in worship? That's what we want to know. It's not enough just to go through a scripture in the New Testament, brothers and sisters, and show where it says they worship Jesus. That's not enough. Because it can just simply mean they did it out of respect. And there are a lot of verses where it means that. But what if I show you a sure way to know when worship means actually worshiping somebody like their God? Once I show you that in the Old Testament, you can't take it back. You can't say that because it's going to the Most High. Y'all know you can't take it back if it's applied to the Most High. So if I show you that same thing being applied to Jesus, that's game, set, and match. If you don't agree with it after that, then you don't believe the New Testament. They ain't got nothing to do with me. It's not my fault if you don't believe what's written. I told that brother that last week when we were dealing with the whole John the Baptist thing. Somebody later told me he believed in oneness, where they believe that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are all one individual. Jesus praying to himself. And when I walked them through John 1, he could see that the light after a certain verse was referring to a person, which was Jesus. He knew that because it said John bear witness of that light. He knew John bear witness of Jesus, John the Baptist. We go down a little further. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and John bear witness of him. But for some reason, he couldn't see that that was Jesus. Yes, he could. If you can see that the light was Jesus, and it doesn't even give you that much detail other than John the Baptist bore witness of it, then you can definitely see that the word is Jesus, because not only does it say John the Baptist bore witness of it, it says he dwelt among us, he came to his own, and his own received him not. You know that's Jesus. But see, this is how deceptive people get when they want to hold on to a doctrine. Y'all got to understand that when people want to hold on to a doctrine, bad enough, the devil comes out of them. You bring the devil out of people. When they don't want to let go of a doctrine, the devil comes out. And what I mean by that is they start lying. They start being deceptive. They start pretending like they don't see clear, simple things that even a fifth grader can see. I can clearly see that. And then when I catch on to that and I kick them off the stage, because at this point they're just wasting our time, you got people in the chat, let them fail, let them talk. They let me know y'all are ignorant. Because y'all can see it too. But y'all want people to keep entertaining these people. That's not my job. My job is to teach and bring clarity and understanding. My job is not to entertain somebody who I know can see but got too much pride to admit it. Got too much pride to concede. And that's what we're battling with, y'all. We're battling with a lot of pride. I do not want to battle with your pride. If you have pride, then don't get on this stage because you will be humbled. If you're battling with pride, you're going to be humbled. We're going to humble you. So we can see that worship here clearly means shaka. The word clearly means worship. And this is talking about the Most High. But now, let's move on. Now let's go to Genesis 37. Let's read about Joseph. We're going back to Genesis 37. We're keeping this real simple. And Jeff, we know they understand it, don't we, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
This is real simple. I'm not teaching anything advanced up here. Not today. This is real basic stuff.
Like you said, people are married to a doctrine, and it's hard to let go of something that you know, so close to. So
right. That's exactly correct. A lot of people need to write their doctrine, a bill of divorcement. You know what I'm saying? Go and get that divorce. Put that bad doctrine away. They don't want to do that. That's their pride. That's why they get so upset at me, because with every bit of truth that we bring out, that's chipping away at their ego. It's like every time we drop some truth, it's like somebody stabbing them. So they want us to feel that pain. We're inadvertently making them feel, because we're not trying to hurt anybody. But the truth does hurt. So now they want to lash back out. They want to get on the stage and try to trip me up, try to trip y'all up, want to waste my time. No. Deal with what's being brought forth. So this is Genesis 37. We're going to read verses 5 to 10. This is when Joseph was telling his family about the dreams that he had. When you get there, go ahead and read.
Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed.
Mm-hmm.
For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf.
And a sheaf is just like a bundle of hay. So he said, I had a dream where we were all carrying sheaves in a field. And lo, my sheep arose and also stood upright, like it was standing vertically, right? And behold, your sheep stood round about, forming a circle around my sheep, and made obeisance to my sheep. That word translated obeisance there, guess what it is, Jeff?
Worship.
Well, I mean, that's also translated worship, but it's the Hebrew word Shaka, right. 78:12. So was Joseph saying in this dream that his brothers would worship him, or was he saying they would one day bow down in respect to him? Which were they saying, Jeff?
That's a good question. I'm trying to figure that out.
It was something about bowing down in respect. They did not worship Joseph, Jeff. Come on. You know the story.
Right.
They did not worship no Joseph. Because you know the prophecy later on when he became ruler over Egypt, and they came and they did not recognize Joseph, and they bowed down to him out of respect, and he said he remembered their dream. So this ain't talking about no worship. And as you keep reading, it's going to explain that, right? You also got to be somewhat familiar with these biblical stories to answer some of these questions, by the way, Jeff. You follow what I'm saying?
I'm familiar with it, but I never, like, the way that it was played out, I was like, it sounded like, you know, it could be confused with worship, but
right.
I understand what you're saying, just bow down out of respect.
Right, because they did not respect him when he was younger, remember?
Right, exactly.
And he's telling them, one day you're going to respect me. But watch what it says when you keep reading, because his father, Jacob, understood what he was implying in the dream. But continue reading.
Genesis chapter 37, verse 8. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words.
So they properly interpreted it. So are you saying you're going to reign over us? You're going to have dominion over us? They understood the symbolism in his dream, right? And you know if they understood it, he understood it. But they didn't say, shall you become our God? Shall we worship you? No, they knew that he was saying, y'all gonna bow down out of respect to me, out of reverence, like I'm royalty or something. But it's that same Hebrew word, shakah. But watch what Jacob says. Continue reading.
Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made a beast and stupid.
So he had another dream, and he said, behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, the sun representing his father, the moon representing his brother, the 11 stars representing his 11 brothers. He would have been number 12, but the dream is about him, so it's 11 stars, right? He said, they made obeisance to me. Same Hebrew word, shakah, translated worship, and also translated bow down to. So which would be a better word other than obeisance, Jeff? Worship or bow down to?
Bow down to.
And you're gonna, I'm going to prove to you how smart you are. Read the very next verse, because watch what Jacob says.
Verse 10, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?
Now look what he said. Look what he said to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee? They understood that he meant bow down. You see that, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
But guess what? The same word translated bow down here is what, Jeff? Shaka. 78:12. Which is also translated obeisance. Which is also translated worship. So when Joseph was using it here, he wasn't saying they were going to worship him. He just meant they were going to bow down one day in respect to him. They're going to reverence him one day. Because his brothers had very little respect for him back then. It's like you go to a job and you at the entry level and all the higher ups have no respect for you, Jeff. And then God gives you a dream. And in the dream, he used a lot of symbolism, but you understand it. And you go back and you tell them one day, I had a dream that signifies that one day all of y'all are going to bow down and respect me. And because they have no respect for you now, they find it that much more hard to believe you. But it's that same Hebrew word, shakah. And depending on the context, it could just simply mean bow down out of respect for somebody or to honor them. But when it's used for God, it means to worship him. Do everybody understand that? when it's used for God. Do everybody understand that? It means to worship him. Real simple. But what gets confusing is when you're debating with somebody on whether Jesus is the Most High God or just God, period, and you see this appear in the New Testament for Jesus. They'll come back at you, Jeff, and be like, all this means is that they bow down and respect him. And in a lot of cases in the Bible, in the New Testament, that's all they were doing. But there are cases, as I'm going to show you in the Old Testament, where you can know that you know that you know. Nah, it means worship, bro. And I'm going to show you how to always know, and they'll never be able to trick you, ever. Because if they try to trick you, they're going to have to say, well, they weren't worshiping the Most High. And you can't do that, right? But now, let's move on. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. You already got somebody in the chat. I just happened to take a quick little glimpse. Eliyahu, talking to Jay Wheat. You worshiping Jesus as the Most High now? How about you listen to the class instead of questioning what other people in the chat personally do? Who does that? Who goes to a classroom and start asking other people in the class what they do? You follow what I'm saying? A lot of y'all went to college, high school, GED school. No matter, just classroom. When have you ever went to a classroom and you see somebody sitting there in the class learning while the teacher teaching, you nudge them, hey man, do you believe what we're being taught up in here? You follow, who does that? Or do you just sit down and try to listen to the teacher yourself? You saw these people just rude, and even if you take away the rudeness aspect of it, it's just stupid to even function like that. Who does that? Who walks into a class and starts trying to debate with another student what the teacher is currently teaching? Who does that? What kind of student does that? When I was growing up, and this ain't a shot at the brother at all, when I was growing up, kids who did that in the class, we called them special kids. We called them slow kids. We called them alternative student kids. That's the type of kids, you know, the ones that act out, want to try to disrupt the class while other people are being taught.
Right.
We called them special kids, and eventually they made special schools for them. They even called them alternative schools. You know, we got to be politically correct. We don't just want to call it schools for your badass children who don't know how to behave. We don't want to call it that. You follow what I'm saying? So we'll just say an alternative school. And that's what people do. They come here and they start questioning other people in the chat about what they're listening to. How about you leave Jay Weasley alone and see why he believes the way we teach? You're being a distraction. That's my point. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there so y'all can see how stupid people are. Go ahead, Jeff. What are you about to say?
And also, Josh, studying the scriptures, we're supposed to show some kind of discipline or whatever. You know, like, well, let me hear the brother out, and then I'll go ahead instead of coming in like that. So that just shows where a person's heart is what?
What?
With that spirit of debate.
Ain't nobody manipulating. Somebody get Eliyahu up out of here. Somebody get him up out of here. One of my mugs, who the quickest on the trip, get him up out of here. He ain't here to learn anything. He ain't here to learn anything. If he wants to talk about what he believes, Clubhouse is free for now, because I don't know when that's going to change, right? He can open his own Clubhouse room and teach whatever he want to teach. This says absolute Bible truth. It don't say Eliyahu nowhere at the top of this room. You follow what I'm saying? Nowhere at the top. It's absolute Bible truth. So if he wants to teach what he want to teach, let him go over there. And then anybody who's interested, after we done, or even while we going, y'all can go over there and listen to him. But don't come try to disrupt what I'm doing, right? But this is Exodus chapter 4. Come back when you got some discipline. 29-31. We just analyzing this word, right? You're talking about Moses and the children of Israel. But it's Exodus chapter 4, 29-31. Read that, please, Jeff.
Exodus chapter 4, verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped.
Now, I want y'all to pay attention to something. That same Hebrew word, shaka, is translated worship, but that's not even my point. Did you notice that it threw something else in there, Jeff, rather than just saying they worshiped? What did it throw in there, Jeff, that they did?
They brought in that they bowed their heads.
They bowed their heads. When it says they bowed their heads, it means they prostrated, right? Now, we know that that word worship, 78:12 in the Hebrew section, shakar, can also mean bow their heads. So is this saying they bowed their heads and bowed their heads? If they're already on the ground, how can they bow down if they're already on the ground? So now we know that when the word worship is prefixed with bow their heads or fell down to their face or whatever, it definitely means worship. You everybody see that?
Yes.
You understand that, Jeff?
Yes.
When it's combined like that, you know, because it's already letting you know the bowing down is not just out of respect. Because it's that they bowed down and worshiped. The Hebrew word shakar by itself can mean worship or just simply bow down out of respect. But when the Hebrew word shakar is prefixed with bowed down or fell down or fell on their face, you definitely know it means worship. Not just respecting somebody or honoring them. It means you worshiping them as God. And because this is talking about the Most High God, we know this is talking about the Most High God. Do everybody understand how it works when you prefix it with bow down or fall down on your face or anything like that? Do everybody understand that?
True.
There's no room for misunderstanding here. In the other ones, even Jeff got a little tied up when it said they're obeisance, right? But now that we know that it says bow down and worship, that bow down combined with worship, man, you know, they're on their hands and their knees, they're on their face to the ground, and they're worshiping. When they talk about that bow down with it, you can't dispute it. That's how you know they definitely dealing with the Most High or a pagan deity or some unrighteous man trying to get that kind of worship that God's supposed to get. When you see it like that. We don't even need context when you put bow down in front of it, do we, Jeff? Because the context is given away by bow down. But let me show you that. This is thrown in the Bible, in the Old Testament, over and over again. Because the Hebrews understood that when you bow down to somebody and you shakar them, that's some our worship. That's pure worship. Like, you know, you praising them, you're giving them honor as your creator, you're making sacrifices to them, everything that comes with worshiping the deity. But let me show you that this was a concept that this ain't a one-time thing. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29. This is when David was about to pass the throne to Solomon, and he was giving thanks to the people for the money that they put forth for the future temple that Solomon would have built. It's going to show you how the people responded. That's how you know. When they say they bow down, oh. Notice when we were talking about Abraham, when he bowed down to the Canaanite, it didn't say he bowed down and worshiped. Joseph never said that his brothers and his mother and his father would bow down and worship. Because that would have meant they were saying, we're bowing down to you in worship, like we're worshiping you. See, by itself, shakar, you have to look at the context. But if it says bow down in worship, that means ask the Most High or to a pagan deity or to a man who you believe is God. That's how the Hebrews understood that. That's how they understood use of the word shakar. You have to look at how the Hebrews use these words. A lot of these Israelites today, so-called, don't go into the history and analyze how the Hebrews use certain words to convey certain things. But once you understand that and you get to the New Testament and you're still dealing with Hebrew as Israelites with that background and understanding, then you cannot deny that they worship Jesus as the Most High. And there are no degrees to worshiping the Most High. You either worship the Most High or you don't. Ain't no degrees to it. Ain't no, well, he was worshiping a little bit. Nope.
Yeah, right.
Either you worship the Most High or you don't. Or you worship the Most High and you don't worship anybody else, or you worship somebody else and you don't worship the Most High. You can't even worship truly. You can't even truly worship the Most High and somebody else at the same time, unless they're both the Most High. Or unless the Most High bestows worship upon them. Those are the only ways that can work. If the Most High bestow worship upon you, Jeff, you are the Most High, because the Most High said nobody can be worshipped but the Most High, but him. So if he bestowed it upon you for that time, however so long it lasts, you are the Most High. Why can't people understand that? And the Bible does say that God has done that before. But in the case of Jesus, we're going to see that people knew he was the Most High because they are worshiping him that same way without any kind of misconception or misunderstanding. I'm going to show y'all that. But we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let me get that with you, Jeff. This is David talking to the people, showing his appreciation for the money they donated toward the temple, the future temple. 1 Chronicles 29, one verse, verse 20. Go ahead and read.
1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 20. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads and worship the Lord and the king.
And it said they bowed down their heads and worship the Lord and the king. Right? So why am I showing y'all this one, Jeff? I don't know if you were in the room when that other brother asked me about that. Remember when the other brother asked me about that, and he was like, they tried to throw that to him to show you that David was worshipped as God, right, the Most High? I don't know.
I'll probably turn down by that.
Who else was it? Who, do y'all remember when that guy on the stage asked me that? Who was on the stage? It had to be somebody who stuck around for a while. Trilla, you probably don't want you. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Why am I taking y'all here? Because they throw David in there. So that word worship, if you combine it with a man and a king, all this is that same Hebrew word too, Shekah, all this is saying is that they what? They reverenced and respected both of them. But they only worshiped the Most High. Remember, that word can mean reverence, and it can also mean worship. David was never worshipped as God. They try to play these games with these Hebrew words. You follow what I'm saying? They try to play these games with these Hebrew words and try to make you think, oh, this is saying that David was worshipped as God. No, it's not. You got to be careful when you're dealing with them. Because let me show you what David himself said. Let's go to Psalm 95. Because this is what David himself said. In verse 6. This is Psalm 95 and verse 6. See, people try to play these games. They try to make you think, oh, see, this is proof that Jesus will not worship as the Most High, because then you'll have to say that David is the Most High. No, that word worship just means honor and respect. The down part could be done to the king or to David. But if you couple them together, all that means is they respected and reverenced one and worship the other. Well, look what David says right here, Psalms 95 and 6. Go ahead and read that.
Psalms chapter 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
He said, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That same Hebrew word, 78:12. Notice it is coupled with bow down. So we know this is talking about doing what to the Most High, Jeff?
Worship.
Worship. In every sense of the word. But notice when we put that bow down and kneel down before it, We definitely know it's not just out of respect and honor. When you couple it with bow down, that Hebrew word shakar, it definitely means worship, doesn't it? Do everybody agree with that? Have I lost anybody yet? You good, Jeff?
Yes, I'm good.
Do everybody in the audience got that? Because people try to play games. That's why when you look up that word, even if you look up that 1 Chronicles 29 and 20, matter of fact, I'm going to do it. I did it for the brother. I'm going to do it for y'all. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles 29 and 20 so y'all can see how these other translations translate. It's 1 Chronicles 29 and 20. And we're going to read it in the easy to read. Look what it says right here. Then David said to all the people, then David said to all the group of people gathered together, now give praise to the Lord your God. So all the people gave praise to the Lord God, the God their ancestors worshiped. They bowed to the ground to give honor to the Lord and to the king. Jeff, why did the easy to read version translate this honor instead of worship? Why do you think they did that?
Because it was throwing reverence, respect to David and also the Most High.
But why do you think they didn't translate it worship? Who on this stage can tell me why they think they did not translate this worship here? Does anybody have any idea? Huh?
In my opinion, they worship when you look at what's going on. The king is an extension of the deal. So whatever they bow down to the king for the throne, the throne is not for King David. King David is sitting on the throne of the God of Israel, and he's ruling over his point. You know what I'm saying? So King David is exalted to a high position.
But is that the reason why you think they translated that way, or that's the reason why you think it reads worship? Because the question was, why do you think they translated it that way?
Well, it depends on which translation, because I think if we look at it, some of them may say worship. Like I've been looking at, you know, the picture of Mary of all the verses. You know, some of them, like even the one about Joseph, like the Aramaic translation, say worship. So it's interchangeable depending on the word for word and the thought for thought translation.
That is correct. Like, But do you think worship in the Aramaic meant worshiping Joseph like the Most High?
No, not in the context of Joseph, but right now, like in the first Chronicles 20 you're talking about, that's the king. You know what I'm saying? King David and King Solomon was also sons of God. Like when we look at, you know what I'm saying, the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Qumran page with the 4 Kings 2:4-6 with the Peshurim with the Son of God concept.
Right.
He's the Son of God. He's the King of Israel. He's an extension of the deity.
Right. According to the people at Qumran, yes. I'm with you according to that. Right?
Yeah. So I'm looking at the cultural context, you know what I'm saying? When I look at the way that they translate that, I see what they're saying. Because I love the translations and all the lexicon, but understanding the ancient Near Eastern thought and understanding that the king is an extension of the deity, when they bow down to the king, they bow down to the deity. The king not even retained none of the glory because the king cannot glorify himself. The father
right.
has to glorify him.
While everything you're saying has merit, that doesn't answer the question of why the modern translators did that, unless it could be proven that they were drawing upon the same ideology that you're drawing upon, right? What I'm saying is the reason why they did that is because they wanted the use of the word to imply honor and not worship of King David. That's why they just put the word honor there, which it can also be translated honor. I understand everything you're saying, and it doesn't take anything away from what you're saying. But modern translators translate this word to imply that when it said they worship them or shakah them, it just simply means they show honor to both of them. And that coincides with how that word is used in general for anybody. Because we saw Abraham used that same word for the children of Heth. And we know he didn't honor them because of any connection to the Most High as a king or anything like that. But still, I see what you're saying. But I'm just showing you the reason why they translated these modern-day translations, because it's a more accurate representation of how that word is used when applied to a man. It usually means, unless like you're deifying the person, it usually means you're just respecting them. But by itself, leaving David out is letting you know that they're bowing down to the God of Israel in worship, right? But I just wanted to put that out there so people can see that the modern translators translated this way so you can see that that word can more accurately be translated honor or respect depending on the context. Now, I read it out of the easy to read version. This is the contemporary English version. This is 1 Chronicles 29 and 20. David then said to the people, now it's your turn to praise the Lord, the God your ancestors worshiped, right? So everyone praised the Lord, and they bowed down to honor him and David, their king. Again, they're doing this. They're translating it this way to show you that nobody is worshiping anybody alongside the Most High. That's why they did it that way. You follow what I'm saying? The modern-day translators, right? And it's crazy, too, because that's the way it would be better translated, and that's the way the King James translated when that same word is used for peace. But we know all translations are based off of context, and more modern translations are usually based off of people's understanding of a text. Sometimes their understanding is warranted. Sometimes people take liberties, right? But let's move on. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. This is when Solomon was dedicating the house or the temple of the Most High. Look what it says. Go ahead and read.
Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. And the glory of the Lord filled the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house.
So when Solomon finished praying, all the sacrifices that they offered were consumed by a fire that God made down, may come down from the sky. But go ahead and read.
And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Now, notice it says they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and the pavement and worshiped. There go that Hebrew word again, 7812, Shekah. So again, we are seeing when that bowed down is accompanied with that Hebrew word shekah, there's no doubt that we're talking about worship of the Most High when it's talking about the Most High. You understand that, Jeff? Do everybody see that? When they put that bowed down with it, that removes all doubt when it comes to the Most High. That removes all doubt. Even if you just see the word worship with the Most High, we know that. If it's talking about the Most High and it is used shekah, we know that means most definitely still worshiping the Most High because it's used for the Most High. But when they put that bow down with it, that removes the fluidity of the word shekah because it's fluid when it's by itself except when it's applied to the Most High. But people are still trying to play with it. But when you put bow down with it, you definitely know it's talking about worshiping the Most High, a pagan deity, a false idol, or even a man you don't supposed to be worshiping. That's why I'm showing you this. That's how the children of Israel understood their worship. They bowed down and worshiped. They didn't just worship, they bowed down and worshiped. Notice in both of these scriptures, it showed them as a group doing this, as a community, as a nation. Let me show you another example of this. Let's go to Nehemiah. This is after they came out of the Babylonian captivity. This is Nehemiah chapter 8. See, this is how you know. We don't have to guess. We don't have to speculate. This is how we know. It's Nehemiah chapter 8. And when you get there, we're going to read verses 5 and 6.
Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground.
So while he was reading the book, he's talking about the book of the law, it says, all the people lifted up their hands and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And that same Hebrew word, worship, shakah, 78:12. Why am I showing you the bow their heads and worship part? Because you can see the bow, you can see the shakah being used for men against men. So somebody can try to play games with that and be like, well, either they're just, they can try to claim either way. They can claim that it means just show respect, or somebody can try to say, oh, it definitely means worship. But we know that Joseph's brothers did not worship him. They did not worship him as God. We also know that Abraham did not worship the Canaanites. We know Abraham did not do that. All it means when it's used with one person to another by, you know, Israelites, it means just doing it out of respect. Now, if it says bow down and shakah, now you're dealing with worship. That's what you're dealing with. That's why when you read about the children of Israel serving God as a community, it don't just say they worship, even though it's a lot of places where you can read where it just says they worship him. And if it's come out the Most High and it has used shakah by itself, that's still enough for you to know it means they're actually worshiping him. Y'all know that. But when they put that bow down in there, you can't play with that word shakah no more. It's not fluid anymore. Now it's nailing it down. So when you put bow down and worship, both bow down and that word shakah can also be translated bow down. So is it saying they bow down and then bow down? No, they already bowed down. You can't bow down if you already bowed down. So when it's accompanied with bow down before it, it means definitely worship. No way you can play with it after that. And that's the way you have to investigate this thing. It's not enough just to go to a scripture and read what somebody has translated, whether it's in the Hebrew, or the English, or the Aramaic. It's not enough just to get the word worship there, because we know that the Hebrews understood worship to mean giving adoration and veneration to the Most High. That word shakah could mean that too. If it's used of anybody else, unless that person is like apostate or reprobate or into idolatry and worshiping men, it only means respect or reverence. But if somebody is giving it to you like they're bowing down and doing it, now you're dealing with worship like a deity, like divinity. That's why in the Ten Commandments, when it talks about the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, it says, thou shalt not bow down nor serve them. Because the bowing down is an act of worship. It ain't just reverence. It's also worship, because you're worshiping these idols. That's the way this works. So when you get to the New Testament, don't just go to a verse where it says they worship Jesus, because somebody can just come along and be like, yo, that just means they showed him respect. They did obeisance to him the same way Joseph's brothers did to him. But Joseph's brothers were not worshiping him as the Most High. But it was Abraham worshiping the Canaanites as the Most High. But let's continue. Right? Because it said they bowed down. Now that we understand that, let's go to the book of Esther. And let me show y'all something a little tricky. This is Esther. chapter 3, right after Nehemiah. Y'all know the story of Esther. Y'all know Haman, that Edomite that tried to get all of the Israelites in Persia annihilated, all because of one Jew, Mordecai. We're going to see what happened. This is Esther chapter 3. When you get there, Jeff, read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip.
Esther chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him.
So it says, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the Agagite. Agagite was the name of King Agag, and he was an Amalekite. So this is an Edomite right here. This is Esau. Haman was an Edomite, right? So he got promoted to a higher position, right? Read verse 2.
Verse 2. And all the kings that were in the king's gate bowed in reverence Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence.
Now, that word reverence is translated from the Hebrew word shakak. Now, is this saying that Mordecai refused to bow down and to bow down to him? No, that don't make sense. It's two different things that Mordecai refused to do. It said he refused to bow down and to shakak. The King James Version Bible translates it as reverence. I'm going to show you that it means worship, and that's why Mordecai refused to bow down. He was. It wasn't just him, I don't respect this Edomite. I'm not bowing down to him. I'm going to show you that this guy, Haman, wanted to be worshipped as a god. And that's why Mordecai did not bow down. In those times in history, it was natural for people to bow out of respect for civil servants and magistrates. The Jews knew that, even in captivity. They knew that. They were doing it in their own culture. So why would Mordecai not bow down to this guy? Because the Persians, y'all seen the movie 300, not only would they deify themselves as kings, they would also extend that deification to their magistrates. And this is what is going on with Haman. And Mordecai knew that, which is why he did not bow down. But I'm going to prove that to y'all. Skip down and read verse 5.
Esther chapter 3, verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath.
And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, notice that bowed not, that bowing is combined with that shakar. Every other time we've been seeing that, combined like that, it always meant worship. Like with no other way. It said he was full of wrath. Haman was upset because Mordecai would not recognize his so-called divinity. But how do I know that Mordecai just refused to bow because he didn't respect the man? The word shakar is there. It could mean respect, honor, homage. What we're going to do is we're going to go to the New Complete Works of Josephus. The New Complete Works of Josephus. And we're going to read Antiquities 11.6.5, paragraph 209 and 210. Again, this is Antiquities 11.6.5, paragraph 209 and 210. Do you have Josephus with you, by the way, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Again.
11.6.5.
Yep. And paragraph 209 and 210. Let's see what Josephus says about why Mordecai refused to bow down and shakar. Because remember, every other time we read a couple like that with an individual, it means bow down and the worship when it was done with an individual. Right? You there?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm just waiting for you to finish, brother.
Okay, I want to make sure that you all can find it. Go ahead and read. Let me see what you got.
Okay, the book of Josephus, the Antiquities of the Jews. Book 11, chapter 6, 5, verses 209.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was one Haman, the son of Amasapha, by birth an Amalekite, that used to go into the king, and the foreigners and Persians worshipped him. And Artaxerxes had commanded that such honor should be paid to him.
Now it says, and the foreigners and Persians worshipped him, and Artaxerxes had commanded that such honor should be paid to him. And when it says worship here, it means worship like God. Because watch what it says in the next part. Go ahead and read.
2:10. But Mordecai was so wise and so observant of his own country's laws that he would not worship the man.
Now, it says Mordecai didn't do it because he was observant of his own country's laws. Mordecai was a Jew, an Israelite. There's no law that says that you can't bow to another man in respect. Because if that were the case, I could say, well, Moses broke that, Aaron broke that, Abraham broke that. I could say, well, a lot of people broke that. So what law was it talking about that Mordecai was observing? That's the reason why he wouldn't bow to Haman, that is worshiping him as a god. So this is the first clear example in the Bible of a man requiring worship as a deity and a Hebrew refusing to do it. And Josephus was a Hebrew historian, and he was familiar with the cultures around Israel and everything. And the Persians had it, because you can also look this up in history. The Persians, like I said, not only did the king bestow worship upon themselves, but sometimes they would extend that divinity to their magistrates. And this is what Artaxerxes did with Haman. So I want y'all to worship him as a god. And Mordecai knew that. That's why he didn't do it. That's why it said he did not bow down nor shakar him. When they put that bow down with it, that's how we know. When it's dealing with an individual or some pagan deities or a man or a woman, it's definitely talking about worship. So now that we can clearly see that the Hebrews understood when you put that bow down or fell down on your face, however they want it worded, in front of Shekinah, it's definitely talking about worshiping somebody's divinity. Definitely. Is definitely talking about that. So now that we know that, Jeff, and everybody can see that, now we have to see if that's the case in the New Testament with Jesus. We can't just use a Greek equivalent for worship, just a word that just means worship. We're going to look that up, too. We got to have that bow down with it, too, because by itself, it just simply mean they pay respect to him or they just honor him. We need the bow down. And we need the worship. Do everybody agree with that? That we need both to make sure that we're not just somebody paying respect to another man. Do everybody agree with that?
Gosh.
That we need both to clear up any confusion? Now, when we're dealing with the Most High, we don't need both. If it just say worship and it's about the Most High, we know it means worship. If it's about a pagan deity, we know it means worship. But if it's about another man, yes, the word worship by itself, we need some context. We need context. And that's how that works. That's how you know if Jesus was worshipped as the Most High. But first, let's go to Isaiah 9. We read this one last week.
You want me to stop in the middle of that paragraph, Josh? 2:10?
Yeah, that's good. You ain't got to read nothing else.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
I just wanted to show the reason why Mordecai refused to bow down to Haman.
Gotcha.
Because Artaxerxes commanded that this man be worshipped. You can also read this in the Apocryphal book. It's in the Apocryphal, by the way. It's called Additions to Esther. It tells you that there too, that Haman was trying to be worshipped as a deity. But it gave that bow down with it too. Now, if it would have just said that Haman refused to Shaka and then put that bow down with it, then that's open for interpretation. It could just simply mean he didn't want to show any respect for the man. He didn't want to bow in respect. It could definitely mean that. But when they put that bow down and worship, the first one means bow down, so the second one can't mean bow down. One means bow down, and the other one means worship when it's coupled like that. That's how you know. But let's go to Isaiah 9, because there's a prophecy. Isaiah chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. When you get there, go ahead and read. It's the prophecy of Jesus. Go ahead.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Now look what it says. For unto us a child is born. This is speaking from the Israelites' perspective. So a child is going to be born to the Israelites, to the Hebrews. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we showed you in last week's class, which you can catch on the replay, that when it says Father here, it does not mean Father in the same sense that Jesus used Father in the New Testament. It just meant Creator. So this is saying he would be the Everlasting Creator. So we got this child that's going to be born who's going to be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Creator, Wonderful Counselor, and the Prince of Peace. These are all things Jesus was known as in the New Testament. Jesus was never called the Father in the New Testament, but he was called the Creator in the New Testament. If you try to make Father here mean Father like Jesus used the word Father for the Father, then that makes this a false prophecy because Jesus was never called Father in the New Testament. Not one time. But he was called Creator. And if you want to get a breakdown of Father meaning Creator, just click on the replay because we broke it down in last week's class. I'm not going to do it all over again. Just catch it on the replay. So we got this child that's going to be having all of the attributes of the Most High God because the Most High is wonderful. The Most High is a counselor. The Most High was called the Mighty God many times before Isaiah and after Isaiah. In fact, in the very next chapter, the Most High is called the Mighty God in Isaiah 10 and verse 21. He's also called the Everlasting Creator. So why is this child being born given all of the attributes of the Most High, but he's not the Most High, even though we're going to show you that he's worshipped like the Most High? We're going to show you that they did for Jesus what Mordecai would not do for Haman. See, if I can show you that they did for Jesus what they wouldn't do for Haman, how can you say that Jesus will not worship after the Most High? What? Mordecai from bowing down and worshiping Haman. Because Mordecai knew Haman was not the Most High. He was looking at it from a Hebrew Israelite culture. So why would the Hebrews of Jesus' day do the opposite for Jesus? Bow down and worship him. We're going to show you that. Right? But now, let's move on. Now that we got the prophecy, let's go to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2.
You don't want verse 7, Josh?
Where'd you stop at?
I stopped at 6.
Yeah, read verse 7. Yeah, read verse 7. Yeah, read that, please. I want you to finish that. Yeah, read that.
No problem. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with just judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Now look what it says. Of the increase of his government, this child that will one day be called the Mighty God. the everlasting father, which means creator right here. Right? All of these are most high titles. I don't care if you don't believe in the New Testament. You cannot tell me that these are not titles of the Most High. Mighty God, Everlasting Father or Everlasting Creator, Wonderful Counselor. I asked them to not only Hebrews try to tell me one day, Jeff, that this is about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah.
Wow.
King Hezekiah is called the Everlasting Creator? You can't say this about anybody in the Old Testament. This is a messianic prophecy letting you know that the Messiah would bear titles and characteristics of the Most High. He can't have all those titles, but yo, he's not the Most High. So what the only thing left to do is show that he was worshipped the same way the Most High is worshipped. And when it comes to worship of the Most High, there are no degrees. If I bow down and worship you, you're either the Most High or you're a pagan deity or you some man trying to get worship you don't supposed to get. That's all there is to it. And if that happened to Jesus, those are the only options you got. Either he's the Most High, he's a pagan deity, or he's a man that got worship that he was not supposed to get. But why would you even think that? If prophecy is letting you know there's going to be a man born with all the attributes of the Most High. It's like somebody give you all the answers to the test. It's 100 questions on the test, and they give you the answer to all 99, and the last question is based on all of the answers that they gave you, and you still get the last answer wrong. If he got all the titles of the Most High, then the only thing left is to see if he was worshipped as the Most High. And if he was, that's 100 on your test. You don't get to the last answer and then and start, you know, acting like you don't understand. That's what people do, because they don't want to let go of a doctrine. You just got to prove that he was, that people bowed down and worshipped him, not just worship. That ain't enough. Because I know some people try to pull that. They worship him. No, you know, they, if you want to use that, play them games, you know. Abraham worshiped men. Joseph said his brother would worship him. You want to play with that word, shakar. But that's not what it always means. It don't always mean worship. It just means bow down in respect or reverence or honor or homage. You can't choose when you want the Hebrew word to mean this here and then go over there and be like, oh, it means this over here, but it's the same context. If it's the same context, you got to interpret it the same way. If it's a different context, then you can play with it a little bit. But people will see the same context and say, well, it don't mean that. It's the same context. So the Hebrews were already expecting a man with all of the titles of the Most High to be born from the lineage of David. This is not something that Christians came up with. Judaism came up with this, y'all. This is Isaiah. This is not New Testament. So it's not only Hebrews runs and stuff like this, they try to play with words. Oh, when he says the mighty God, you know, God can sometimes just mean, you know, somebody with authority or a ruler, but it's being used in the same way that it's used with God. What about everlasting father? What king, what human king ever had that title? What human king ever had everlasting creator? What human king prior to the New Testament was known as the everlasting creator? So this is something that would come later. But I heard a synop on the Hebrew say Hezekiah. You would have been better off just saying, I don't know. Hezekiah? Really? Right? But now let's go to Matthew chapter 2. People can't be honest enough with these scriptures, Jeff. That's the problem. They can't be honest enough. We want to get to certain points, be comfortable there. Then when other stuff come out, no. Now that we understand how you can tell when we definitely talking about worship, not reverence, not just reverence, not just homage, not just respect. Now that we know how to tell when you definitely talking about worship, man, it's time to tackle Jesus. That's how you do it. So now we're going to Matthew 2, and all things we're going to read is verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to look up a word. When you get there, go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.
It said, we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Does it say bow down and worship him, Jeff?
No, sir.
It just say worship, doesn't it? We know that is not enough. But let's see what Greek word is translated worship him. We're going to go to the Strong and Vowel Concordance and look up the word translated worship him. And it's 4352 in the Hebrew, not the Hebrew, the Greek section of the Strong and Vowel Concordance. The word translated worship, 4352 in the Greek section. And the word is proskuneo, proskuneo. And it says from Greek 4314 and probably a derivative of Greek 2965, meaning to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand, to fawn or crouch to. Y'all know what it means to crouch. It means like to bow down, right? Look what else it says. That is literally or figuratively prostrate oneself in homage, due, reverence to, adore, worship. So this is basically the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word shakar. Proskuneo. So just proskuneo by itself is not enough. Just like shakar is not enough when it's applying to a man, and we know Jesus was a man. Right? But let's see what it says. We already got the prophecy that we're going to have a child being born who's going to be called the Mighty God, a title reserved and only used for the Most High all throughout the Old Testament. Right? But now let's go back to Matthew chapter 2. And I want you to pick it up at verse 9, and we're going to read 9 to 11. Because all it said right there that they worship him. Now let's see what these wise men are going to do when they have to get to him. Go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. So they came and stood over where the young child was.
So the wise men, when they had heard the king, talking about Herod, they departed, and lo, the star, you know, which signified the birth of Jesus, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So the star led them to Jesus' location. Go ahead and read.
Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him.
Hold on, hold on, stop, whoa. What did it say right here, Jeff?
Fell down and worshiped him.
They fell down, that means they bowed, they prostrated. Isn't that the same combination of words that is used to let you know that we're definitely talking about worship?
Yes, sir. Same in the Exodus and Psalms.
The same Exodus, Psalms. This is definitely talking about, if it would have just said worship him, you can play with that. But it said they fell down and worshiped him, and he is still a baby. He's a child. But Isaiah chapter 9 said, to us a child is born, to us a child is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father or Creator, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. These wise men understood this prophecy. They knew the Most High would be born as a child, as a man, in the flesh. That's why as soon as they showed up to him as a baby, they fell down and worshiped him. You cannot play games with me. That's how you know that you're definitely dealing with worship, when they tell you they bow first. That's how you know. If it just said they bow, or if it just said they worship, you can get away with that if it just do one or the other. But if it said they bow down and worship, no. That's them believing that's the Most High God. But you learn something else. It used worship first by itself. Then it used bowed and worship. If it used bowed and worship somewhere, then later on, like in the same chapter or in the same book, if it just used worship by itself and is referring to the same individual, then you know it means they worship him as the Most High, even though the bow ain't given there that time. Just like with the Most High in the Old Testament. If they say they bowed and worshiped the Most High, and then a few verses later just say they worship, we don't need to bow there. Because we already know that they were already bowing to him in worship. So when it says worship by itself later, we know it means as a deity. But finish that up, Jeff.
Okay, where was I?
Get started, verse 11 again.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
So they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But it says they fell down, which means bowed down. You can look at another translation. See, when you put that bowed down with it, along with that worship, you can't play with that proskuneo. You can't play with that shakah. So if you read about Jesus just being worshipped, you can look at the context to see if it means his divinity or if they're just paying homage to him out of respect or gratitude. Most of the time when you see it being applied to Jesus, it just means out of respect or gratitude. But when it's talking about somebody bowing down and worshiping, and we know that the prophecy said that the Most High was going to be born as God in the flesh, this is why these wise men were ready. He's a baby, y'all. He's only a few days old, probably. And they're bowing down and worshiping him. When you put that bow down with it, Brother Josh don't want to hear it. It's not debatable to me. And they're doing the same thing to Jesus that Haman did not get from Mordecai. Mordecai refused to bow down and worship. Why did they say he didn't want to do it? Because of the law that God gave Israel. He knew you weren't supposed to worship no man. Or at the very least, he knew that Haman wasn't that prophesied child. I bet if Mordecai knew that Jesus was that prophesied child, he probably was familiar with Isaiah's prophecy. Maybe. We don't know. But if he was, I bet he would have bowed down and worshiped Jesus. But let's keep going. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. And before we go there, Ariel, are you there? I want to make sure Ariel on deck. Dre, Keanu, anyone of y'all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I've been drinking a lot of water trying to flush myself. I got to use the restroom right quick. Give a little brief announcement telling people in the chat room and stuff. I'll be a minute. Won't be none but a minute. Go ahead, Dre.
Put a quick share down at the bottom just for everybody else to come to due diligence to research it as well. We definitely would appreciate that. We look like we got a couple of, well, actually, we just got a couple of extra shares. We appreciate those and everybody who's already shared them as well. And again, the room is entitled "When Jesus Worship as the Most High." I'm not going to go into too deep depth of detail because I don't know Brother Ariel's that we definitely do appreciate everybody coming to chime in with us on the field, on the Shabbat study. It's always great. Y'all can be in well for us right here. Y'all are definitely appreciated. I hope that we can share for everybody to get information out well field. That way the information can spread it abroad. I know my brother, she's back. Oh, yeah, he's back there. You back here? You done, y'all?
Yep, I'm back.
Okay.
Oh, just let y'all know, whenever I take a break, if I ever take a break, if you see the thumbs up on my icon, that means I'm back. Appreciate that too, Dre. But now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Because I'm going to prove to y'all that even the devil, Satan, understood that their bowing down is necessary. How about I show them that, Jeff? You know, if Satan know it, you know what I'm saying? You definitely know something up. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4. It's Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verse 8 and 9. This is when Satan was tempting Jesus. Y'all know the story. But Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Read that.
Chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship.
Now he said, all these things will I give you if you do what, Jeff?
Fall down and worship.
You see how even Satan knew that fall down with it? Definitely lets you know, we come out, you bowing down and worshiping. He could have easily said, all these things will I give you if you worship me. And we still would have known that, you know, he wants to be worshipped as God. But even Satan knew, I want that bowing down in there. Because even Satan knew that clears up all confusion. I don't want you to just pay respect to me. I don't want just reverence. I don't want just homage. I want worship. And the Israelites knew that the bowing down part sealed the worship. Do everybody see why Satan said, bow down and worship me? Do everybody on stage see that? Why he didn't just say, worship me? That's why I said, I want you to fall down and worship me. See, even Satan knew that the fall down part meant that. But they fell down and worshiped Jesus when he was a baby. Were they wrong? It doesn't say that Mary or Joseph tried to rebuke them, and Jesus was a baby, so, you know, he couldn't rebuke them. I want y'all to pay attention to little stuff like this. Because, see, the Hebrews knew that that prokuneo and that shaka, it had a wide variety of applications. But when applied to a deity or a person who's trying to be worshipped as God, it always kind of put that bow down in there first, or at least one time, or it'll do it enough so when you see it somewhere else, it don't even put in the bow down part. You already know from other scripture, oh, they're definitely talking about being worshipped. But now let's get back to Jesus. I want to throw that in there so y'all can see that even Satan knew. You can't say they bowed down and then bowed down. Satan was asking Jesus, I want you to bow down and bow down. He's already bowed down. So proskuneo, right there in that verse, it meant worship me, just like they translated it. They did not translate it bow down or prostrate. They translated worship correctly, just like it was correctly translated shaka in Genesis 22 and 5. We knew. He was telling those other two young men that accompanied Abraham and Isaac to a certain point, we knew Abraham was telling them, we about to go over and worship the Most High. Then we'll be back. So this is an accurate translation. We also know that they were trying to, that Mordecai refused to bow down and worship Haman. That's why he wouldn't do it. It wasn't just, I don't respect this guy because he's an Edomite or he's wicked. No. He knew that Mordecai was demanding, not Mordecai, but Haman was demanding divine worship. And this is the type of worship we're talking about in Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, and Matthew chapter 4, and verses 8 and 9. That's divine worship. But let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. They go after the resurrection. See, Satan wanted Most High worship. They're bowing down in worship. That's Most High worship. Y'all know that. That's why Jesus, after that, said, get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt serve the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. But how can he say that? And then, because he was quoting from Deuteronomy. But by saying that, Jesus is even implying that that type of worship is only reserved for the Most High. But then he turns around and allows himself to be worshipped in that manner, to fall down and worship part. So if Jesus tells Satan, only God is supposed to be bowed down to and worshipped, right? And then he turns around and it happens to him.
Yeah, Josh, you dropped down. It's a clubhouse.
Okay.
Late, man. Sometimes. So the audience, I just sent you a back up. There you go. There's been some issues with Clubhouse as of late, so we're not sure what caused it.
Shoot, I got a wave from Sister Judith. Where she at? He said she tried to send me a wave.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Right, it's all good. It ain't on y'all. But yeah, like I was saying, Jesus told Satan that that type of worship, bowing down and worshiping, is only for God. But then he allows it to happen to himself. Now, somebody might argue, as a baby, you know, he couldn't do anything about that. Okay, now he's an adult. This is Matthew 28, after his resurrection. This is when the women came back from the sepulcher, right? And they ran into Jesus. We're going to read Matthew 28, verses 8 to 10. Go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word.
Mm-hmm.
And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held them by the feet and worship them.
What does it mean when it said they held them by the feet? What do you have to do to hold somebody by the feet, Jeff?
You got to prostrate yourself, get on your knees.
You got to bow down. So if it's better, they bow down and worship him. Who gets the kind of bow down and worship, Jeff? Who gets that kind of worship?
The Most High God.
The Most High. But it's telling you they're doing this to Jesus. These are Israelites. They know the law. Why are they doing this? Because they understood Isaiah chapter 9. They understood the prophecy. They knew that the Most High was going to come as a man one day. Isaiah had already told them that. And once they realized that this is that guy, now he's getting that Most High worship. Like I said, when you put that word worship, proskuneo, same word, but when you put that bow down in front of it, it's like when you put that bow down before you do that shakar. There's no question what kind of worship is going on here. That's how Israel worshiped the Most High. That's how you know this ain't no, they ain't playing, they ain't fronting. When you bow down and worship, that's how you know. If it just say worship, we got to go with the context. If it's man to man and it just say worship, we know, like with Abraham, he wasn't worshiping those Canaanites. I mean, he was bowing to them out of respect, out of homage. We know when Joseph gave his prophecy, he wasn't saying that his parents and his brothers were going to worship him. He was just saying they were going to bow him out of respect. And you know that's what he meant, because if you read the whole story of Joseph, that's all they did. You don't say they worshiped him or called him God. They bowed him out of respect. So Joseph gave a prophecy about what people were going to do to him, and the fulfillment of it let us understand, oh, he just meant bow to them out of respect. So Isaiah gave a prophecy, and now we know what the fulfillment of it means. Oh, he God. But let's look at another example of something, right? Skip down and read verses 16 and 17, because like I said, once it says that, then you know when they use it later on with people who believed in Jesus, which is why people believed in him, those would be the apostles, then we know it means divine worship. It don't just mean respect and honor, because y'all know with divine worship automatically comes respect and honor. Y'all know that. But we definitely know it means worship. So now in the same chapter, verses 16 and 17. Go ahead and read.
Josh, we didn't do verse 10. You want me to...
Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, read verse 10 because it connects with it perfectly. Yeah, read that. Yeah, read that.
Gotcha. Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
So he said, be not afraid. No, he didn't say, get up. What are you doing?
Right.
Remember Satan wanted somebody to fall down at his feet and worship him? And we know the context of that because Jesus quoted Deuteronomy, I believe it was 6, letting them know that that kind of worship is reserved for God only, the Most High only. But here at his birth, people are doing it to him. At his resurrection, people are doing it to him. You can't deny it. You can't even try to play with the Greek language or the Hebrew language. I got you covered no matter where you try to run to. They are clearly worshiping this man as the Most High. And there are no degrees to it. You can't say, well, they worship Jesus, but they worship the Most High most. Where is that in the Bible? Either you worship the Most High or you don't. If you're worshiping anybody in that manner other than the Most High, then that's not the Most High, or that is the Most High, or the New Testament is a lie. You got to, it's time for people to start growing up and dealing with what the Bible says instead of what we want it to say. A lot of y'all have already been tainted by bad doctrine. So when the Bible actually speaks to you, you don't want to hear what the Bible is actually saying because you've been tainted by bad doctrine. So when stuff like this comes your way, now you want to be in the chat room asking Jay Weezy, do he believe Jesus the Most High? What do Jay Weezy got to do with what we teaching? You want to start getting disruptive. Look what happened. You start exposing people false doctrine. They can't even sit still. You already know what you believe. I would be like, how's he even getting that? See, my curiosity is quicker than my mouth. See, a lot of y'all mouth is quicker than y'all curiosity. See, curiosity keeps you quiet because you want to hear and find out where are they going with this. But y'all mouth is quicker than your curiosity. And when that happens, you want to talk rather than hear what somebody else is saying. And I practice what I preach on the rare occasions that I do go to other people's rooms. Even if I'm instantly invited to the stage, I don't say anything. I sit for at least 30 minutes to try to get a feel of what's being talked about. You got people entering to your room. They've been in a second already trying to teach, trying to ask questions to people already in the room. You act like animals. And if you act like an animal, I'm going to treat you like an animal. An animal that's untrained, has no discipline. What do you do with that animal? You either put it down or you put it out. What would you do, Jeff? You went to the pound and adopted a brand new dog, and as soon as you bring it home, it starts trying to attack your whole family. What you going to do to that dog?
Oh, he got to go one way or another.
One way or another, he got to go. Y'all come here acting like wild animals. I'm going to treat you like a wild animal. You're going to get put down or put out. That's what you do. You got people in the audience, why would he put that dog out? I don't know. He got rabies. He foaming at the mouth. He trying to bite everybody. Do I really need to explain why I put a rabid dog out of my house? That's the weird thing. But now that we see that, now let's stay in Matthew 28 and read 16 and 17. They fell at his feet and they worship him. That's what Mordecai did not do to Haman. Go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted.
He said, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. It don't even say the bow down part right here. So how do we know in what sense the disciples worship him? Because it was already given to us how believers worship him when the women came from the well. Not the well, but the sepulcher. It was in a divine sense. And we're going to prove that. And once you get it in a divine sense and you're dealing with believers, then you know if it just says worship by itself, it means in a divine sense if it's dealing with a group of believers. Y'all understand that? That's how we know. But we're going to show you proof of that. It says they worship him, but some doubt it. Like they couldn't believe that he actually rose from the dead. But now let's go to John chapter 20. This is also after the resurrection. See, people be trying to play games. That's how the disciples look. Thomas did not even believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But once he saw proof of that, watch what it says. This is John 20, verses 26 to 29.
Okay.
Go ahead and read when you
John,
get it.
John chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands,
mm-hmm.
and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side,
mm-hmm.
and be not faithless, but believing.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God.
He said to him, My Lord and my what?
And my God.
My God. He called him God. He said, My Lord and my God, which proves that in Matthew 28, when it says in 16 and 17 that the disciples worship him, it meant in a divine sense. Because Thomas was not with them when Jesus first appeared. And he even told them, hey, unless I see the crucifixion marks, I'm not going to believe. And in another occasion, Jesus appeared to them, and Thomas was with him, and he showed him the crucifixion marks. Thomas said, My Lord and my God. Why would Thomas call this guy God? For the same reason that the wise men fell down and worship him. They bowed and worshiped for the same reason the women from the Sepulchre fell down and worshiped him. The same reason why it says that the disciples worshiped him. They knew he was that God that would be born. And he got the exact same kind of worship that the Most High got, which undeniably is when you bow down and do it. That's the undeniable one right there. Like I said, we can play with that proskuneo. And that shakah just by itself all day. But once they put that bow down with it, nah. That removes any possibility of it just meaning out of respect or out of homage. It definitely means worship. And we know that from looking at the Hebrew usage and background of the word. And these were Israelites. But let me show y'all something else. To prove to y'all that they knew what it meant and what happens when you try to apply it to them. Let's go to Acts. Chapter 10.
You don't want to do 29?
I keep forgetting that last verse. I keep forgetting that last verse, don't I? Read verse 29. Go ahead and get it.
John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Wait a minute. Where's the rebuke? Where's the... Why are you calling me God? There's no God but the Father. Why he ain't saying that? Why didn't he say that to the women? When they fell down and grabbed his feet, they didn't just bow down. They bowed down and grabbed his feet. Like, don't leave. You know, you grab somebody's feet. Y'all know what that means, you grab somebody's feet. You don't want them to leave. They ain't just worshiping. They beg him to say, oh, please don't leave. Oh, God, don't leave. Why didn't he say this to Thomas? Why is he not rebuking anybody? Jesus would be like, no, don't do that. But let me show you an example when it happens to other people, what they do. Now let's go to Acts chapter 10. And you're going to read the same wording with that proskuneo. We gotta start keeping it real. This is Most High worship. When they say bow down and worship, you can't even, there's no way you're going to tell me that means anything other than actual worship. Ain't no way you're going to tell me it means anything other than that. If you just said bow down in a verse, we can play with that. If it just said worship in a verse, we can play with that. But if it says bow down and worship, don't try to tell me they ain't talking about worshiping the deity. or you believe it's a deity you worshiping. You can't tell me it don't mean that. We ain't even going to play them kind of games. Yo, get your butt off the stage if you think you're going to play that kind of game with me.
Right.
This is Acts chapter 10. This is when Cornelius came to Peter. Y'all know about this story. A lot of stuff I'm showing y'all, y'all already know it. I'm just giving it more relevance. So this is Acts chapter 10, 25 to 26. When you get there, read, please.
Acts chapter 10, verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him.
They're going to fall down and worship. Jeff, when they say fall down and worship, that's indisputably what?
That's worship.
That's indisputably worship. We know that. That's indisputably worship. It's the same thing we read what the wise men did to Jesus. And the same thing what the women did, and in the book of John, Thomas straight up called him God. Right? Let's see what Peter's going to say. And that same word there for worship is proskuneo, the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word shakar. Watch what Peter does. Go ahead.
Verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man.
Wait, why did...
Step away for 1 second, Doc.
Okay. Now, y'all tell me, this is exactly what it said the women did to Jesus and what the wise men did to Jesus. Why didn't Jesus say, stand up, I myself also am a man? Why didn't he say that to the women? Why didn't he say that to the disciples when it said they worship him? Why didn't he correct Thomas? When Thomas called him God, because Jesus was worshipped as the Most High, and he accepted it. But when you see one of his disciples being worshipped as the Most High God, they correct it. And the same wording is used, and the same Greek word, proskuneo. So we know that Cornelius was not just bowing to Peter out of respect or out of homage or out of honor. He was literally trying to worship Peter. And that's why Peter said, stand up. I'm a man just like you. Peter knew you do not accept that bowing down and worship. Peter could accept proskuneo by itself. Proskuneo by itself if it just meant to do was bow down to him out of respect or just honor. But when they say bow down and proskuneo, he's like, nope, you can't do that, bro. I myself also am a man. But Jesus accepted it because to us a child is born and his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Creator. He knew he was the Most High. He was the Most High sent by the Most High. That's another lesson right there. But you cannot deny that they are clearly worshiping Jesus. There's no denying that. And it's believers who are doing this. So if you have a problem with that, don't come for me. Like that dude who I was going back and forth with about John chapter 1 and the word being Jesus or being a person, he said he can see it. I said, well, John said so. John said no. John said, do you agree that John said it? Yeah, I agree that John said it. Then why are you coming for me? He literally said, Jeff, I don't know if he was in the room last week, this brother literally said he could see what John is saying, and he believed John was saying the same thing that I believe John was saying in the book of John. And yet he still was coming for me like I messed up. I said, bro, you got to take that up with John.
Right.
You mean to tell me you see what I'm seeing, but I'm the problem? This is like me and you going out on your front porch, Jeff. And I'd be like, Jeff, I know you ain't going to probably believe this, but I see a pink elephant with wings with a leprechaun tap dancing on his back. And you say to me, Josh, I ain't trying to be funny, but I see the exact same thing you see. But somehow it's my fault that we both see it. You follow what I'm saying? That's how that dude did. I see the same thing you see, but it's my fault that we both see it. Right? Come on, this is how crazy people are. You blame me for what they wrote. I did not tell them to write this. But as y'all can see, Peter understood that that fall down in worship, you can't do that to me. You can do the fall down, you can do the worship, as long as it means like, you know, showing me respect or homage, but you can't do both to me, because that means you're trying to worship me like I'm the Most High. But they did it to Jesus. But let's move on. Let's look at another incident. Let's go still in the book of Acts. Let's go to chapter 14. Let's see what happened with Paul and Barnabas. See, every time one of the believers, when somebody tried to worship one of the believers, they stopped them. But when somebody worshiped Jesus, he didn't stop them. And don't tell me he couldn't have stopped them. He could have said the same thing that Peter said to Cornelius. It's the same wording, same Greek word being used. Now we're going to show you that they were called God. Because Acts chapter 14, 11 to 15. 11 through 15. When you get to this after Paul healed the cripple. Healed the cripple man, and the guy jumped up, started walking around. And these pagan Greeks saw it. Watch what they do. Go ahead and read.
Acts chapter 14, verse 11. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in likeness of men.
So they said the gods, when they saw Paul heal this crippled man, they said the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. They are essentially saying the gods have incarnated in the flesh. They were saying Paul and Barnabas are God in the flesh. That's the same thing John said about Jesus in John chapter 1. And what did they try to do? Continue.
12. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker.
And they called Barnabas Jupiter, which to the Greeks would be Zeus, and Paul Mercurius, which to the Greeks would be Hermes. Because he was the chief speaker. And if you know anything about your Greek mythology, Hermes was the messenger god. He spoke on behalf of the gods. So since Paul was doing the most talking, they were like, oh, he must be Hermes. He must be Mercury. You follow what I'm saying? So they thought they were gods. So they're about to worship them. Go ahead and read.
Verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, bore oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people.
So when the priests of Jupiter, you know, running the temple of Jupiter or the temple of Zeus, they said, which was before the city, he brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. So the priests of Jupiter tried to lead the people to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas as gods. In other words, they were trying to worship them. Let's see what Paul and Barnabas does. Go ahead and read.
Verse 14, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out.
So they ripped their clothes. In Hebrew culture, when you do that, that means something real jacked up just happened. Read every time somebody ripped their clothes in the Bible. That means somebody either said something real jacked up, or you just witnessed somebody do something real jacked up, or you just realized you did something real jacked up.
Right.
But watch what it says after they did that. Go ahead and read.
And saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein.
And saying, sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passions with you. In other words, we're men just like you. We're not gods. Just like Cornelius tried to worship Peter as a god. Right? It says, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, which is odd because Paul tells you in his writings that Jesus created everything. So he's telling them to turn to the God that we believe created the heavens and the earth, and then Paul tells you in his epistles that Jesus did it. You can't ignore stuff like this, right? And it says, and the sea and all things that are in, all things that are therein. Now skip down and read verse 18 and watch what it says, the conclusion of this was.
Verse 18, and with these things, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them.
He said, and with these things, scarce, I mean, they barely stopped the people from making a sacrifice to them. Because Paul and Barnabas knew if we accept any kind of worship that is due to the Most High, we damn ourselves. They knew that, just like Peter knew that. But apparently, I guess Jesus must have missed the memo because he accepted it. So it's only one conclusion. Either Jesus was a false prophet or he was the Most High. If he accepted that worship, and we know that worship means bowing down to and worship, and then straight up being called God. And they straight up called Paul and Barnabas God. They were pagan gods, but they still called them God. And not God in a sense of authority or power. No, deity, divinity. But they would not accept that form of worship because they know that's only due to the Most High. But Jesus accepted it. He was worshiped before he was even able to form words in his mouth. Why? Why did the wise men do that? Because they knew to us a child is born and his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Creator. All of these are Most High titles. They can play with everything they want, Jeff. But one thing we cannot deny is that only the Most High is supposed to be worshiped. Ain't nobody going to debate me on that. That only the Most High is supposed to be worshiped. Because we all believe that. And we know that anybody who's a righteous man or woman who knows they're not the Most High will not allow themselves to be worshiped as such. Period. So if Jesus allowed it, that means that he knew who he was. But let's move on. Let's go to Revelation 19. We wind it down, but y'all got to understand this. We proven it all to you. We showed you that the Most High be down on the cross. That was Jesus. Most High himself said they're going to look upon me whom they pierced. Me. Meaning you're going to do this to me. Right? And John tells you that was fulfilled when Jesus got pierced in his side by the Roman soldier with a spear at the crucifixion. He said that was fulfilled then. A prophecy that said something's going to happen to the Most High, John says that was fulfilled in Jesus. I'm trying to figure out how you can't see the connection there. So now we're reading about how the Hebrews understood indisputable worship of the Most High, which includes bowing down and worshiping him. And we're seeing the same thing with Jesus. And somebody going to steal some of them and say they don't see it. But it is what it is. Just get rid of the New Testament. Just say you don't believe the New Testament. Stop pretending like what we're doing is wrong or the way we're reading this stuff is wrong. It says what it says. Either believe it or not. I really don't care, but don't go on this thing and act like it ain't saying what I say it's saying. It's plainly saying that. And we see what happens when other people have that done to them. Now we're going to see what happens when an angel has it done to them. And it always puts that bow down and fall down in front of it, Jeff. So we, all the verses I went through, it's I can just read just worship. I'm only going to the ones that put that fall down in front of it first, so y'all can see in what sense. And then afterwards, if it just say worship by itself, I still qualify that by showing that they call them God. Right? So if you can't see it, it ain't my problem. You just don't believe what you see. You're tainted by your doctrine. It's Revelation 19. This is when John was talking to the angel in the vision. In Revelation 19, verses 9 and 10. Read that, please.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
And I fell at his feet. They're going to fall down part, the bow down part, to worship him, same Greek word, 4352, proskuneo, to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. Even the angels would not allow themselves to be worshipped as the Most High. But we read, well, people fell down at Jesus' feet and worship him and call him God. Why did he say to them, see that thou do it not? When Cornelius said to Peter, see that thou do it not. When no Greeks tried to do it to Paul and Barnabas, see that thou do it not. What kind of worship are they getting from people that they can't accept that Jesus can? And there are no degrees. I want to see the degrees of worshiping the Most High. You can worship Jesus, but you can't worship him like the Most High. It's only one kind of worship the Bible talks about when it comes to the Most High. Either you do or you don't. There ain't no degrees to it. Even if you're worshiping other deities alongside the Most High, which a lot of kings and people in Israel's history did, God still considered that idolatry. So even if angels like, nope, can't do it. You cannot do it. But let me show you that this happened twice. Still in the book of Revelation. Let's go to chapter 22 and read verses 8 and 9. And we only got two more after that. There's so many different ways I can show y'all this. Y'all ain't reading y'all Old Testament. The Old Testament, they have been expecting a Messiah that was going to be both God and man for about 700 years. So when he showed up, there were people who understood this. Your camp don't understand this because they ain't reading the prophecy. And then when they do read it, they try to twist it to mean something else. Oh, this is talking about Hezekiah. Or the word Almighty God there, which was previously only used for the Most High. Now all of a sudden it could just mean some dude who got some authority or power. Even though in the very next chapter, it applies to God again. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's always used referring to God and other places in Scripture. Just Google, not Google, but word search in your e-sword or on the Blue Letter Bible. Just word search Almighty God, just in the Old Testament. And y'all tell me who is referred to, just Mighty God, not Almighty, but Mighty God. And y'all tell me who is referring to. So if it means that there, then when it says everlasting creator, what human king, Jeff, can be called the everlasting creator? That means a creator who's eternal and who created everything. What human king in the Old Testament fits that description? You know no human king fits that description. That's only in the New Testament when it starts shedding some light on who that could be. This whole, the Most High being born as a man, it did not start with Christianity. That's the biggest misconception. That's why a lot of these one-west Hebrews, you mean y'all are these pagan Christians, and all that stuff, and y'all talking about that Trinity and Jesus being a God, that comes from paganism. Did Isaiah get this from paganism? This is Isaiah, one of the most quoted prophets in the New Testament, by the way, and a major prophet in the Old Testament. He didn't know what he was talking about. We got to stop these games. I'm just reading what it says. I'm even giving y'all the language. I'm giving y'all the context. Can't nobody jump up and say, oh, it don't mean, it just mean they show respect. Mm-mm, nope. When you put that bow down with it, you got to go somewhere. Right? But this is Revelation 22, 8 and 9. Read that, Jeff.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 8. And I saw, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things.
I fell down to worship. They go that, notice that bow down or fall down is always there to let us know that the Hebrews understood when you bow down with it, it's definitely talking about worship. That's why Haman wanted that bow down and worship. He didn't just want to bow down. Satan didn't just want to bow down. Satan wanted to bow down and worship. He said, I fell down to worship, proskuneo, same Greek word, before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Read the next verse.
Verse 9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the things of this book, worship God.
Now this time he just said, worship God. He didn't say, fall down and worship God. He just said, worship God. So we know it don't mean just pay respect to him. It means actually worship him. So this angel is telling him to worship God. Two times John was so amazed by what this angel was showing him that he tried to worship him twice. And both times this angel had to tell him, no. Worship God. Jesus didn't tell nobody that. He had every opportunity to do it. He didn't tell anybody that. Why didn't he tell anybody that, Jeff? You trying to tell me all the servants of Jesus are more righteous than him? He didn't correct or rebuke them because he knew he was the Most High. Only the Most High is allowed to get that fall down and worship. Man can get that worship if it just simply means paying respect or honor, and man can get that bow down if it means paying respect or honor. But man can't get the bow down and the worship gift. You can't get both of them unless you're wrong or you're a pagan deity, which would still be wrong, right? And if you believe that Jesus was a true prophet and the Son of God who never sinned, the only conclusion you can reach if he allowed people to worship him and did not rebuke him, is because he's the Most High God. Not just God, the Most High God. Because there are no degrees to this. People try to make degrees to it. Yeah, he was worshipped, but not like the Most. If they bow down and worship, that's the Most High God. I don't see any other, I don't see any higher extent. Can somebody show me a higher extent of worshiping the Most High God that surpasses bowing down and worship? If you can show me a higher extent of that, then there are degrees to that. I ain't about obedience. I ain't talking about sacrificing and all that stuff. We know that stuff that just come with any deity. I want to see something that goes beyond that. If it says you bow down and worship him, that's the highest extent. You can't go beyond that. So if Jesus gets that and the Most High gets that, they both got to be the Most High. I don't know any other way to explain it. You can't create degrees to this. Jeff. People want to create levels and degrees to this. You cannot do that. Let's go. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, then we're going to skip. We got one more after that.
You said 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to
chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past until the fathers by the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
As in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir to all things, by whom also he made the world.
It says, he in these last days hath spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The Father used the Son to create everything. Everything. Both things we can see and things we can't see. Right? But watch what else it says about him. And keep in mind what this angel told John he couldn't do. What John couldn't do. Skip down, still in Hebrews chapter 1, and read verses 4 to 6.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
So that means he was better than that angel that John tried to worship twice in the book of Revelation. Right? He was better than them because they say he was made better than the angels. So that means he surpasses them. But keep reading.
Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Mm-hmm.
And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Right. So he's saying, for unto, now there's a comparison being made between Jesus and the angels. First it said he was made better than them. Then it said that the Father never said to any of the angels, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. It's comparing Jesus with the angels. This is the context of this passage. Meaning anything you read in this chapter is showing that Jesus is superior to the angels because he is God. That's the whole point of Hebrews chapter 1, the first chapter. You can't make it mean anything else. That's the context. We're comparing Jesus to the angels and why he's superior to them. But watch what it says here. Go ahead and read.
Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. He doesn't say fall down before this, but we know based on everything else we've been reading about Jesus, it has to mean worship in the sense of divine worship, because he's already been saying he's better than them. Angels are divine, y'all. So if you're telling me that he's superior to divinities, then that means he has to be superior by divinity. So when it says they worship him, it means as God. It doesn't mean they're just paying him respect. He's superior to them. That's the reason why he was able, even though he was in the form of a man, to be worshipped and did not correct anybody. The New Testament is telling you that Jesus was worshipped by men and angels. And the only deity qualified to receive that worship is the Most High. And like I said, the Most High sent the Most High. And no, they're not the same person. I'm going to do a whole class on you that Jesus is not his father. That one, this doctrine, if that's what it's called, that's garbage. Even Hebrews have you show you them having a conversation. They're not the same person. But it's telling you the angels worship him. But it didn't use the fall down right here. But let me show you something else. This is the last one. Let's go to Revelation 5. It's Revelation 5. They bow down and worship Jesus. I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else was allowed to have that happen to them. And we saw the first man recorded in biblical history tried to get that from an Israelite. That was the crazy thing about it. He tried to get it from an Israelite. And Mordecai was like, no, I'm not bowing down and worshiping you. And even the word reverence, translated reverence in the King James Version Bible, is translated worship in some other translation. So he tried to get Mordecai to bow down and worship him. And Josephus let us know it meant in a divine sense. So Mordecai was not just not respecting Haman. He's like, I'm not about to worship you. And if you look at, it's a Persian culture. Like I said, you can research this stuff. The king was worshipped as God. Y'all seen the movie 300? A lot of truth in how Xerxes was carrying on. He wanted to be worshipped as a god. And they would extend that worship to their magistrates. They would just be lower deities, you know, compared to the king, but they still said this is a god too. If you look at the movie 300, Xerxes pretty much promised Leonidas, I'll make you a god if you surrender to me. He didn't come right out and say it, but that's pretty much what he was telling him. Don't y'all get that? That's why Satan told Jesus, fall down and worship me. See, Satan knew exactly how to word it. He didn't just say, bow down to me. He could have just said that, couldn't he, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Now, he wanted to make sure we knew when we read this, fall down and worship me. So you can't play with that post-cuneo, and you can't play with that shaka, right? This is Revelation 5, 11 to 13. Read that, please.
Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands.
Now this is John having a vision of heaven, and he's showing you everything he sees around the throne. Continue, please.
Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Now look what this is saying. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. Remember those words. Continue reading.
Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever.
Wait a minute. It says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, that's a lesson in and of itself, that under the earth part, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, that's the Father, y'all know that, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. How in the world is he giving the exact same accolades that God is getting, that the Father is getting? You don't read that about anybody else in the Bible, man or angel. He gets the same degree of honor and prestige that God gives. This is the book of Revelation. You can't go any further than that. He gets it all. I keep telling people. He got the worship. He got the title of God. He got the title of creator. But somewhere in the middle of all of that, he can't be the Most High. If y'all don't stop playing games with me, he even gets the exact precise worship that the Most High gets. The way they even word it, the way our Hebrew forefathers even word it to make sure you don't get confused, and that is bow down and worship. Even Satan understood that. That's why when he came to Jesus, I need you to bow down and worship. I don't need you to just bow down. I don't need you to just worship. I want you to bow down and worship, because Satan knew that from the Hebrew perspective, if you just say one or the other, that does not give you total power. I want the phrase that gives me total power. That's why when the mark of the beast come out and they make that image of the beast, people got to bow down to it. That's why when Nebuchadnezzar made that image, he wanted people to bow down to it. That's how they do in the East. They understood anybody can bow down to anybody out of respect. Everybody knew that. People still do that today. In Japan, they bow to you. In the Middle East, they still do that. But when you bow down and worship, there's no question that it's about the worship that is supposed to be for the Most High and the Most High alone. So if Jesus is getting that and not rebuking anybody, either the New Testament is false or Jesus is
the Most High and was worshipped as such. We'll be back after these brief announcements. All right, first of all, shout out to all 87 people who are still in the room. I saw Big Brother Zadok come in. I don't know if he's still in. If he is, bring him up to the stage, somebody, if y'all see him. First of all, we'd like to thank everybody for coming out today. As many of you know, we have Sabbath class every week, every Saturday, live. We open up the room at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's what time we open up the room. And then we try to play some nice music for you for about 30 minutes, and the actual class starts around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Most of you already know this. That's why y'all start coming in around 5:20, 5:25. If anybody's interested in ordering a past class, you can do so by going to our website. All of this information is under my profile. You just click on my profile, scroll down, you'll see the links to everything I'm about to tell you. So if you're interested in ordering a past class, you can simply go on our online store. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/. And if you're interested in making a donation, if you just feel blessed by what you've been hearing and want to show some support, you can do so one of two ways. This information is also under my bio. The first way is through Cash App using the email address. This is our email address, too, which is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruth, the number 4, EVA@yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word for it. You have to type the number for it. So it's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And, of course, the other way you can donate, which most people donate this way, is through Cash App using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM s. Again, that's $ABTM s, and it just simply stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. At this time, we will bring on Ariel, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity. He will give a brief summary of today's class, what we went over today, as well as any announcements he may have. Ariel, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
You are loud and clear on my end, sir.
Awesome. All praises to the Most High. So first and foremost, we want to give all glory, all praise, and all honor to the Most High for allowing us to be here today. We want to give a special shout-out to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who went on the cross and died for our sins. So we're getting to the announcements, and we're going to get into the summary. So first, I just want to say that we have the men's ministry coming up, August 6th is the first Sunday in August, and where the men meet, where we talk all things mental health, all things financial health, all things spiritual health, all things fatherhood, manhood, and just trying to be the best Christians that we can be to our wives and to the world. So for all of the men who are interested in the men's ministry, make sure you guys mark that on your calendar. August 6th is our meeting. August 6th is our meeting. Also, we are trying to get together our women's ministry. I just got back from vacation, so I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. I'm going to be meeting with some sisters who have reached out about having interest in helping lead the women's ministry. So be on the lookout for that as well. And also, we're going to be sending out probably some type of survey soon just to see what you guys want from the ministry. As we continue to grow, we want to make sure we are including you guys in how we serve you, right? We want to make sure we are serving you guys to the best of our abilities. So we want to know what are some of the things you want to see for ABT. So as we continue to grow, you know, we can keep everybody involved. So be on the lookout for that as well. Also, we have a prayer session every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a prayer session every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. When we come together and pray for each other, we come together, we have a Bible study, and we get a motivational word of the week to help us get back on track, to help us get refreshed and refocused to take on next week, because motivation is like taking a shower, right? You got to do it daily. Sometimes it runs out, so we need to be able to refill back up, get back out there, and go on and take on the temptations of the world if we want to accomplish our goals and see ourselves successful in whatever area or industry we are in. So we have a prayer session every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I'll take prayer requests, or you can pray for yourself, pray for your situation, or share a testimony about how the Most High is working in your life, because it's important that we let people know that the God of the living is still here. You know, he's still blessing people. He's still healing people. He's still saving people. So we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it. We need to spread the word, spread the gospel, let people know that the God of Israel is alive and well. Okay, so now let's get into the summary. Was Jesus worshipped as the Most High? And today we learn beyond any shadow of a doubt that there is a difference between respectful greetings and bowing, and worshiping and bowing, right? And what really hit home for me was when at the end of the class, when Josh went into how the angels and the disciples, they all denied the worship. They all denied when people bowed to them. They told them to, you know, stand up. I also am a man. Don't worship me. But Jesus, when he received the worship, when Jesus, when he received the praise, when Jesus, he received the bowing, he accepted it. He didn't correct nobody. He didn't tell anybody to stand down. He didn't tell anybody to stop doing that. He didn't say, hey, I'm just a man. Jesus accepted it, and that is what really separates Jesus from us all. Jesus is our Most High, right? Jesus is our God. Jesus is the one we look to for salvation, right? God said in the book of Isaiah, I will save you, right? And what did he do? He came in the form of a man, and he saved us. If the Most High was God in Isaiah, and he told you he was going to come as a man, then that also is the Most High as well, y'all. We got to stop allowing people to try to persuade us and convince us otherwise. We got to stand up to the mockery. Just because people is trying to mock you and make fun of you don't mean they're right. Just because people can make jokes don't mean they're right. Just because people don't agree with you doesn't mean we have to stop believing what the Bible tells us to believe. So Jesus Christ was definitely worshipped as the Most High. He got that same adoration. He got that same honor. He came and he did those things that the Most High said he would do. So therefore, after we gather all this evidence, after we gather all these scriptures, we can see that Jesus Christ was worshipped as the Most High in the Bible. He got that same bowing. He got that same respect. He got that same honor. And he did all of the things that God, the Most High, said he was going to do, and nobody else could do them. So Jesus Christ was definitely worshipped as the Most High in the Bible. It is undeniable. Undeniable when you go into the book of Matthew, when you go into the book of Acts, and you see how Paul told him, don't bow to me. Praise God. I'm just a man. And Jesus, he accepted it. So that's what really stood out to me the most. And then another good point was the fact that we went into the scriptures to see how the Hebrews worship the Most High, right? So if we can see how they're worshiping the Most High, and then we can see how they also worship Jesus, that means those two are one in the same, because they gave that same significance to Jesus that they gave to the Most High. So we can see that Jesus was worshipped as the Most High in the Bible. So now we're about to go into the question and answer segment. We're about to go into the question and answer segment. We got 79 people in the room. We got 79 people in the room, and there's 42 shares. Let's try to get those shares up to 50. Let's try to get those shares up to 55. Let's get 55 shares from all 80 people in this room right now. Let's get 50 shares. Hit that, those three buttons in the bottom left center of your phone. It says 42 next to it. Hit that button, and drop down when you go come up, and it says share on Clubhouse. Share it on Clubhouse and tell people to come to Q&A. Let me shout out to everybody who already shared the room. Shout out to James from the Boots, Kelsey D,